Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On one indescribable podcast, Adam, Todd, and Lindy. Also on indescribable podcast, talk musicals they see. On one indescribable podcast, they'll share their points of view. And in this one, they will talk about Waitress, the musical, naming their favorite songs and what they think about each of the characters. Plus, Lindy tells us which pies sound the best to her. Now, onto your favorite podcast. And we bring all our hot takes for you. Yes, that is right. We are here. We are back at One Indescribable Podcast, where we have taken a break from the shows that we normally cover. We're in a little bit of an interlude here, an intermediary space where we just got done covering all of Girls 5 Eva Season 3 that's currently out on Netflix, and all of our coverage is currently available to you on whatever podcast platform you're currently watching, listening on, whatever. And what we're going to do starting next week, which is, of course, Pushing Daisies. Today, we're talking about Waitress, the musical. Very specifically, Waitress, the musical. I know maybe there was some confusion about what kind of Waitress we were talking about here. Well, it's the musical. So hopefully you figure that out and we're able to watch it beforehand. I'm Adam H. here with you week after week, making my pies. I don't know how much pie talk we're going to have in this podcast today, but we'll see. Lindy loves a sweet treat, but I feel like I'm kind of out on pies. I feel like pies are this, you know, people have a moment where like, oh, pies are so good. They don't get a lot of respect, but they're just like mediocre to okay. I don't know. Todd, how do you feel about pies? Are you a big pie guy?
I know we've talked about this on the podcast before. I'm pretty sure we talked about something we recorded recently that probably won't air for a few months. I feel like it came up on one of our previously on podcasts that we've been recording ahead of time. But yeah, I'm not a big pie guy at all. I'm definitely a cake person. I just don't like the texture of pie for the most part. So I've always been a bigger cake person.
I'm with you, unless it's like a pumpkin pie, which is like almost a cake in a way, right? Like a pumpkin pie doesn't have like the same deal. I mean, it is, but like, you know, Lindy, you're such a sweet treat girly. Do you like pies?
Thank you so much for that introduction. I am a sweet treat girly. As you know,
if there's one thing that we know about Lindy.
If there's one thing you know about me, it's that pies. We totally have talked about this. I don't remember what I said before, so I might be about to say something different. Who knows?
Yeah, welcome to the club. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I just watched this musical all about pie. But I think I'm fonder of pie than I realized. I'm like, a really good pie, like there's a really high ceiling for that. Like pie can be incredible. So I would say I'm a fan. Now I'd say I gravitate more towards things like cake than pie if we're comparing those two. But when I was a kid, we used to eat this. Maybe I mentioned this already. We used to eat this like pumpkin ice cream pie, and that was so good. So oh. I think there's really a lot of potential for pie.
Okay, there's a lot of potential. I like that. You know, a high ceiling, I guess. I've just never had the revolutionary pie. Like maybe I have just not personally eaten the pie that has the high ceiling, because like the best pie I've ever had was like good, you know, like I that was like as good as it's gotten for me. It was like, oh, that was a good slice of pie, I guess, you know, like I've never found the ceiling. Of course I am no Jenna, right? Jenna's the main character. Okay. The name got a little confusing here because there's a Dawn in Waitress, and then of course Sarah Bareilles is Dawn in Girls Five Ever. So it was like the whole time, and this didn't happen to me as I was watching this as it came out for the first time a while ago when this came out, not in theaters. We'll talk about this in just a second, but well, it came out in theaters. I didn't watch it in theaters, whatever. Okay, so when this first came out, I had not seen G5E yet, and so like the dawn of it all, and then every time they said Dawn and Sarah Bareilles on the screen, I was like, wait a minute, who are you talking to? Like, what's going on? Like, you can't be playing these name games with me. Today was Waitress. Okay, this is what we watched, and let's just get the elephant in the room out of the way right at the very beginning. Lindy, this had a runtime of 2 hours and 20 minutes. I feel like I have to say that right up front, because the now two times that I have seen this in the past very kind of short amount of time, both times there have been a lot of points in the middle where I was like, how long do we have left? And then it's like an hour and 20 minutes left. And it's like, oh man, like this was a lengthy show.
This is the obligatory mentioning of the length of a movie that we have. Yeah. Adam and I have to say every time we cover a movie at the top of the podcast. Correct. We always complain about how long it is. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to anyone who gets annoyed by that, including Todd, our co-host.
I mean, I am more than used to it by this point.
Todd's used to it. If you're new here, we're sorry, but Adam and I can't stand how long movies are. Yeah.
And I had to do this in chunks. Like, I could not do this whole thing in one go. I split this into more chunks than just the two chunks that already are in the show. Like each of the acts had multiple.
I would so never long. Sit down to watch this 2-hour, 20-minute movie musical in one sitting. I just can't do it. Yeah. Oh, and also, okay, our complaints about the length are over. Also, Adam, I love that you mentioned the whole Dawn Sarah Bareilles thing, because I had the same problem the whole time I was watching. Like, they're saying Dawn, and I'm like, oh, Dawn, like Sarah Bareilles, and then I was like, okay, no, they're not talking about her. But still, every time they said the word Dawn, I thought of Sarah Bareilles in my head, and it was really a weird experience.
Yeah. And this, so like I said before, this didn't happen to me previously. So this came out middle of last year, I think, like or maybe it was just at because it first came out at like a film festival. And then I kept feeling like I saw a bunch of like stuff about it. And we'll get into some of the history of it. But Todd, I know you saw this in the theaters. You're a big movie guy. You love going to the I don't even know what a movie theater looks like anymore these days, honestly. It's been so long since I've been I just saw this once it came out to all of the perfectly legal platforms upon which I watch videos and television of the sort. But you went to see this in theaters, so I have to imagine that this was a better experience in a theater. And I'm largely saying that because if I think about all of the actual shows that I have seen in person, they've never felt long, right? Like all of the different musicals that I've ever gone to see in person, I've never once left and been like, oh my God, that took forever. That was like the, you know, the whatever situation. Like, I truly think that it's just I can't sit down on a couch or in a chair and watch a screen for 2 hours and 20 minutes. If I'm actually there and there's music being played and people like live singing, you know, I'm fully, fully into it. But Todd, how was this experience in theaters?
I mean, it was good. I saw it in December. It was like whenever they had it doing the Fathom Events things.
Because it was like a limited, theaters. Right?
Yeah.
It was like a, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a like one or two night type thing, I think. Maybe like a week. I don't know. They sometimes do different things for the Fathom Events. But yeah, it was like a very limited thing where it was playing on the big screen. And is this a musical that I was familiar with? But I'd never gotten to see a production of it before. And so I was really jazzed to have a chance to finally go and watch it. Yeah, it was like, it was a good experience. Of course, I don't have the same problem that you guys do with length of movies and stuff like that. So I don't know if it made any major difference to me seeing it on the big screen compared to like never rewatched it this time sitting in my recliner. But I do enjoy like the big theater experience. Like seeing things on the big screen is always like a good thing for me and usually does enhance the experience, whatever it is. More for like, you know, certain things are enhanced more than others. And it was, you're talking about like being there with like lots of people around. Like I think there were maybe five of the people in the theater whenever I saw it. It's like not a very, you know, well-attended screening of this in the town where I live. But it was nice to be able to see it for the first time finally.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into just a little bit of the history of Waitress here. And I guess before we even do that, just as a side note, we're starting Pushing Daisies next week. So if you're only here for like regular episodic coverage of I'm watching this episode of a thing to hear the three of us talk about it, I don't know what that population looks like, but if that exists out there, if that's you, don't even worry about it. We'll be back next week to talk about Pushing Daisies season one, episode one, but we're doing Waitress. So Todd, walk us through some of the history, some of the context of Waitress. What do we know? What do we need to know about Waitress the musical?
So Waitress the musical was based on Waitress the movie. It actually was an original script written, directed, and co-starring Adrian Shelley. The writer and director of Waitress in the original film played the part of Dawn. So Adrian Shelley wrote and directed this film, starred Kerry Russell as Jenna, starred Nathan Fillion as Dr. Pomander. I feel like a very different version of Dr. Pomander than the Pomander we got in this with Nathan Fillion in it. Cheryl Hines as Becky, Jeremy Sisto as Earl, and Andy Griffith as Joe. So that was like the original film version. I saw the original film when it first came out in video, loved it. It's like an amazing movie, like really well done, really well acted. Did some of the similar things that the play does with the kind of, you know, making pie and things being kind of imagined just in a different way. But you did have like this seeing the insides of Jenna's mind as she was making up these like really fantastical, bizarre pies for the different situations. So the movie came out. It was a hit. It won several awards from different film festivals and independent film award shows. It's like that very well regarded film. And so that kind of led to it being a option to be turned to a stage play, which came out in 2015. They first did their first workshops for it. The book of the play was written by Jesse Nelson, and the music and lyrics were written by Sarah Bareilles, who we all know from Girls Five Eva that we've covered here, among other things. Sarah Bareilles did not originate the part of Jenna, however. There was a very different cast in the original Broadway version compared to this. Well, I say very different cast, but it's like about a halfway different cast, because if you, I was looking up earlier to see who all was in the original Broadway production and who was in this Broadway restaging for 2021 that was filmed, and let me tell you, every woman in the original is not in the reboot. Almost every man that was in the original was in this film. So Dr. Pomander, Joe, Cal, Ogie, all of them, the originators of the parts from like the original Broadway cast. The only one who wasn't for the original Broadway cast is Earl. And he was in like one of the workshop things. So he was like someone who actually had been the show and then wasn't in Broadway, but then has now come back. But all of the women in the version that we saw, very much like a new to the parts. But yeah, so Sarah Bareilles wrote the music and lyrics for it. It came out. It was pretty well received. It was nominated for lots of Tony Awards. It didn't win any. It did win like a Drama Desk Award for a featured actor, which went to Christopher Fitzgerald, who plays Ogie. And it won the Outer Critics Circle Award for Outstanding Featured Actor, which also went to Christopher Fitzgerald. So Ogie was like the standout in like the award show stuff there. But yeah, that's like kind of the basic history of it. I do want to say one other thing. So like, I feel like this is a nice bridging thing because we have like Sarah Bareilles taking us out of Girls Five into this, and then it's all about a pie shop, and that's going to be a big thing and what we're moving to next. But there's another thing that links Girls Five Eva to The Waitress, the musical, if not this production, then the Broadway itself. One of the people who took over the role of Old Joe on Broadway, Richard Klein.
I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Talking about like the original Broadway cast and sort of some of the changes here, just like a few other names, Keala Settle is the other one that like comes to mind when I was originally in Broadway for Becky, and so just, you know, a couple other names that I'm like aware of. The only other thing I'll say before we get Lindy's like actual thoughts and opinions on Waitress the musical as a whole, because I don't know about you all, but I've been waiting on bated breath here, just building up the suspense in anticipation of will Lindy like this musical. Joe Tippett, a guy who plays Earl, there's so few of you out there who this will apply to in terms of the comment that I'm about to make, but it's not going to be zero of you. Todd and I covered a show over on Poster Recaps when that was still a thing for Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, and the guy's name was Tim, and it was played by Joe Tippett. And when I tell you that the dichotomy of Tim and Earl, like, it just... Like it, the first time that I saw this production of Waitress on the screen was like just after we had done all of our recording of Monarch, and I was like, "What the is Tim? Like, how it's so night and day different." And it's like, this is not an actor that I was super familiar with before Monarch, and then of course like back to back in these things in such a different role. I don't know, Todd. Like that really like threw me the first time I saw Joe Tippett in there, and I was like, "Wait a minute." I hate you, but also Tim, what are you doing?
Yeah, I remember sitting in the theater going, that can't be. That can't, because it was like whenever I saw it, it was like in the midst of us recording Monarch. Like Monarch, we were like mid recording of it. We'd watched a lot of it, but it hadn't ended yet. And we talked a lot about Tim. Tim's like not a main character, but a pretty major character, kind of a nerdy character, kind of like getting pushed around character. And then to see him here as, you know, no rough, tough, abusive Earl was just like, wait, what? Yeah. So it's lots of cognitive dissonance seeing Joe Tippett in this role for me, for sure, the first time I saw it.
Yeah. The only other cast notes, there was a West End production of Waitress as well that has a couple names that I feel like are always the names that I see videos of the performances of this. Catherine McPhee playing Jenna, like, is one that I feel like I see all the time. Like, she has one of, I think, the best renditions of She Used to Be Mine. And then Jack McBrayer actually played Ogie in that production as well. Kenneth from 30 Rock. So just some
interesting fun stuff.
Yeah, I've seen like a couple different, it's never like a full production. I've never seen the like little snippets of like little stuff from Jack McBrayer. It was very, very fun. Okay, let's get to it. Lindy, you've watched many musical for the purposes of this podcast that Todd and I have subjected you to. Waitress was certainly going to be one on the list that if it were available during our Lindy pitch thing, which at some point we should probably do again, whatever we want to call, we should come up with a better name for it and then do it again is what I think we should. Anyway, it would have been on that list for this, but instead we're doing it here. What did you think of Waitress, the musical?
Well, first of all, I love the title, Lindy Pitch Thing. That's a great...
I think that's what I titled the podcast as I was editing it. Like when I was saving the file, I think it was like Lindy Pitch Thing.
Lindy Pitch Thing. Love that. Yeah. I agree. Let's do it again. That'd be fun.
We have to figure out a name before we do it again. Like we have to have something to call
it. We had a name, whatever we named the podcast when we did it.
Yeah.
I think it was Musical Pitches. Like I don't think it was anything special.
Hmm.
We can come up with something special. But anyway, so I totally, completely understand why Waitress, the musical, would have been a suggestion that you all made. Because in terms of musicals, this is definitely up my alley. I will say, overall, really liked it. I loved the pie aspect. Love that. Loved the friendship. Love a little romance. And the music was good. And I loved seeing Sarah Bareilles. We've seen for so long her in the role of Dawn. And like, she does it really well. There's nothing wrong with her portrayal. But Dawn is like, so like the normal one in this group of like, big personalities on Girls Five Eva. So to see her in a totally different role in a totally different context, I was like, I really like Sarah Bareilles. Like, this is great. So overall, I had a great time. I enjoyed it.
Okay. It feels like there was a butt coming there.
It was way better than Mamma Mia, I'll tell you that.
Well, amen.
I'm not here to disagree with you about that particular fact. I definitely think that this was it was different. Just different than Mamma Mia, you know?
And well, it was better.
Okay. All right. Maybe it was better. Okay. So let's get into this. Do we want to start with the music or the characters? Which did you like more, Lindy? The music or the characters?
I'll be honest. I only watched it once. I'm sorry. I only had time to watch the 2.5 hour movie once.
Did you watch this twice this last week? Like, is there?
No, I've seen it 2 times total, once at the theater, once yesterday.
Okay. So that's like where I am too. I don't think anyone expected you to watch this 2 hour, 20 minute production twice this week. So.
Oh, well, that's a relief.
You don't have to apologize for that. Like, you know,
okay,
that's
great.
The fact that we both watched it this week is actually kind of, you know, a modern miracle.
Yeah, honestly. what I was getting at by saying that was that I've only heard all these songs once so far. So I'm not like overly familiar with them. But I will say that overall, I really enjoyed it. I do feel that this was mostly my kind of musical. Like, it wasn't too dark. It wasn't like, I liked the music. I liked the vibes overall.
Okay, so let's start with the music, and I guess just say, were there any songs that, even if you might not like know the name of them, were there any songs that stood out to you as like, oh my gosh, this was like incredibly good? Was there anything like came to mind while you were watching that you were sort of like blown away by? And we can, you know, certainly help with like names or whatever.
I did write down When He Sees Me. I think that's by Dawn.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I really liked that one because I wrote it down.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's that's one of my favorites of the show for sure. I really like the way it's written. I like the way that the music changes tempo and style, kind of for different parts, going from her pop 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 to the When He Sees Me, what a pop 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 pop. You know, all of that. I really like that song. It's like definitely probably my top two songs of
really
the show.
Okay, yeah. So top two with what, Todd? What's the other one?
That's where it gets a little bit harder. But I think maybe Bad Idea. I think it's a bad idea, Me and You. I love that one. I love the whenever they're singing together and she kind of goes like, she goes like really high. You know, that part. I really like the musicality of that one. So there's just something about the really primal part of it. And then that, yeah, there's just something about that that really worked for me. So I think those are probably my top two songs. There's you know, quite a few that I like, but those are two that really stand out to me.
Wow. Okay. I don't know how this has happened, but I think that you guys have managed to miss like my entire top three.
We're not done yet.
Well, but I, you know, Todd's top two like doesn't have any overlap with my top three. Okay. What else is there for you, Lindy?
Maybe my third in the top three would have overlap, but who knows?
I mean, there's only so many songs here. Yeah. So what else did you write down, Lindy? Did anything else make the notepad?
It's a note in my phone. It's not even a notepad.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, everyone needed to know that.
Yeah, I was very curious how you documented your note-taking while you were watching this, so that's good.
I'll be completely honest with everyone right now.
Please.
This is the least amount of notes I've ever taken for anything we've covered on the podcast. I wrote like three sentences when I watched this movie. That's not...
Wait, what were the three sentences? Do you have the three sentences in front of you? Why didn't we open with that?
Actually, I only wrote two sentences plus the song part. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, I definitely do. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, well, I might get into this again, but I'll just read the sentences now. A mermaid marshmallow pie sounds incredible. That's sentence number one.
Uh-huh. That's 50% of the notes.
50% of it.
It's really the most Lindy note we can have, though. So I think it really tracks. God.
Okay, like, what's the other one?
Yeah, we can come back around, but I genuinely want to talk about the pies. Yeah, but anyway. Yeah,
we will.
Okay, the second sentence. This is going to be a bit repetitive, but confusing because another character is named Dawn, lol.
Those were your two notes. This is a musical podcast, and those are the two notes on Weezer's the Musical.
She also wrote down song names.
Okay, so we have the song names, When He Sees Me, and then what else did you have under song names?
I don't know all the names, but I like the beginning number.
The opening up.
Yeah.
That's in my top three. So I'm with you on that. Okay.
See, you get it.
The girls that get it. Yeah.
And then I also like the kind of repetitive thing throughout of like the sugar, butter, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought that
was like, it's a good motif. It's like a good theme that definitely echoes throughout a lot of songs. Yeah.
Yes. I liked that.
Okay. The other ones that like fit into my top three, it's a very like basic pick, but She Used to Be Mine is like an incredibly well-written song, and it's very, very well performed as well. I don't even think that Sarah Bareilles has anywhere near my top like version of it. Like if this was your only, you know, viewing of She Used to Be Mine like ever, and if you've never heard someone else do a cover of this, like you really have to.
Applies to me, so I guess.
Like you should. Like there are, and it's not that Sarah Bareilles is a you know, not talented at all. Like that's certainly not what I'm trying to, but like the ways that people have, and even like the Catherine McPhee version, there's a Brandi Carlile version, Jeremy Jordan has a version that I think, like all of these I think are better. It's just so good. And then Never Ever Getting Rid of Me is what rounds out my top three. And, you know, maybe not in terms of like the, oh, this is the best, like whatever. So it's so much fun. Like the amount of joy and amusement that I get out of freaking Ogie, you know, Never Ever Getting Rid of Me. It's just so, so fun.
Yeah, I'll say that's the song that's been stuck in my head the most. That's I cannot get that out of my head, and it's like really it was like really close to making my top three. I mean, it was like I think for most of these songs it was like a game of inches about what would make my top. I like kind of like I have like I guess like a top five, and that was like in there. The other one that I really like is You Will Still Be Mine.
Yeah,
which is like very, very short, but I like it partially because it's kind of dark, like singing to girls' mind, you know. I had a six string, you had your own thing, but I don't know what it was. You know, it's like very like that self-centeredness of it all, and it's also like kind of threatening. Like whenever he's like, what would the words, baby? Like this very like, you know, kind of dark undertone to it that's also has like the really romantic part of like the song that he's trying to remember. It's like a really interesting song. So that's another one that like really stands out to me. But yeah, I never ever getting rid of me. I can see why he won like multiple awards for that role, just for that number alone, just like the energy that he brought to it and so much fun. And played by the guy who is the original Bach in Wicked.
Okay, so cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait until we get Wicked Part 1 to make Lindy watch.
Are we watching that?
Oh, I mean, for sure we'll watch that when it comes. I mean, it's not going to come out until who knows when. But yeah, when that comes out, for sure we're going to watch that. Right? Okay. There's no way we're not doing that.
I guess.
Have you seen Wicked at all, Lindy? Have you seen
anything? I saw it in London.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so why wouldn't we?
Well, because I'm just thinking there's no way it's going to be as good as when I saw it in London.
No, I mean, almost assuredly not. Movie musicals almost never are. I can't think of any exceptions to that, actually, which probably says more than anything else. The only other songs that I wanted to bring up, The Negative, I think is a great song. I really think
I was
going
to say that one, too.
All of like the opening stuff, like opening up The Negative and then What Baking Can Do is like sort of that opening trio of songs, I think is a really fantastic part to the show. I think Act One is a lot stronger than Act Two in terms of music. I don't know. And I think that's maybe part of not to like get into gripes or whatever of the show. I think that's maybe part of why it drags a little bit for me, because we sort of get this stretch, and maybe it's just when the old guy starts singing in the middle of Act Two. And it's, you know, whenever that happens in a musical, I'm just like, okay, like, you know, what an old man can do for you. Like, not much at this point. So I don't know. This is like a universal
Adam's views
Broadway
do not
thing.
Necessarily represent the views of
the
one indescribable
old
podcast.
Man song being universally hated is like one of the most like bland Broadway takes ever. Like it is universally
that's fine, but you were talking about what can old men give you now. That's a step further.
Okay, like
we
I
don't
guess
want to be mean to old men. That's
okay.
Not
all the old men out there can give Lindy whatever they were going to give me. I guess what? I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I said very little, and then you were like, whoa, wait a minute. And all I was trying to say was that I don't need the old man song in all of these musicals every single time. Like it just we didn't need it to happen. The only other like qualm I have before we get to some of the characters, the ending, in some ways, I think was predictable. Like I think like the pie shop involved, like the old guy leaving her the shop, I felt like was a little predictable. The one area where I do commend the show, we don't end up with Dr. Pomatter. Like we don't, that is not the resolution of this love story that has sort of happened throughout. And I think that oftentimes when we're in these types of, you know, romantic whatever situations, that's where we go. So Todd, in some ways I like the ending because it sort of subverts those expectations, but then it's like, oh, don't read this letter until after we've resolved this other thing. Like just no, don't read it right now, wait until we're done with this particular part and then you can read it. It's like, okay, like you know, we all know like what's coming here.
Yeah, it pretty very closely follows the movie. It's like a pretty faithful plot retelling of the movie in a lot of ways. It's been a while since I've seen the movie. I did look it up to verify. There's like a couple like small changes here and there. But yeah, I remember like liking it a lot, even though like Karen Russell, Nathan Fillion, I thought had like really good chemistry in the film. I remember like kind of liking the fact that yeah, they didn't get together and that it wasn't like the two people who are cheating on their spouses, even if there's like, you know, for her, it makes, I think, a little bit more understandable than for him in a lot of ways. But yeah, I do think that was a nice subversion of the romance of it all. And her, like, finding her true love and her daughter and all is, like, a kind of a nice idea. But yeah, getting the stuff from Joe, that's fine. You know, it's a little predictable, but I think it works. But yeah, I hadn't even like, looked at, but I really, looking at like every one of my favorite songs is definitely in Act One. Like, I think pretty much everything that I really, really like is in Act One. So,
yeah.
Which, I mean, happens more often than you might like.
Musicals like really front load stuff, because even like my favorite musicals, like Les Mis, Act One is so much better than Act, like it's really not even close. I don't like Wicked. I feel like kind of the same way too. Like, you know, I'm trying to, is there any, like, now that we've, I'm trying to think of any musicals where like act two is like demonstrably better. And I don't know that any immediately come to mind for me.
Nothing is springing to mind for me immediately. I think there's some where they're like probably equal, like it's pretty even throughout. And I think there's even like some that might not be as strong usually have like at least one, because like one of my favorite songs from Les Mis is in the, like in the last act, you know, The Stars. I love that. It's like one of my favorite songs, you know,
The Tenor's Dream. Yeah.
You know. I love that. But yeah, I do think that it feels like it is a thing where a lot of time shows are not as, don't have as strong a second act in lots of ways. I think like structurally, and a lot of times, you know, the first act is a lot longer than the second act as well. So it's like, there's a lot more going on. You take your mission, you come back with like a kind of shorter back half and like kind of like trying to resolve things. I feel like a lot of times.
Yeah.
I will say, I really liked the ending. I know it was just like, everyone's going to be happy, but I loved it. I was like, yay, she's got her pie diner. She's the queen of pie, and she's got her adorable daughter, and her friends still work there, and everyone's in love and happy and doing great. I was like, perfect. Love it.
Lindy loves a happy ending. Well, you know what I love? A happy little ad break. That's where we're going. Everyone's going to be nice and happy during this ad break, and we will be right back to talk through all of the characters.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're back to talk through the characters of Waitress. Okay, who do we want to start with? Who is your favorite character, Lindy? Let's start there. Who did you like the most? Favorite character. Top one.
Top one? I can't even... Came in and say, oh, I don't know. Here's a few.
Yeah, top one. Who's your favorite character? I love how this is like the most challenging question you've ever been asked in your life. Like we're not.
It is. I don't know.
Really, you could just pick anyone, you know.
I have to stand behind my pick.
Oh well, that's a mindset thing that I can't relate to. Really.
Yeah. Stand behind your takes. What?
I mean, okay. Great. Todd, who's your favorite character?
My favorite character is Dawn, I think. I really, really enjoy Dawn. I think she's like a really funny character. You know, I already mentioned like her song is when he sees me is like one of my favorite songs. I just like her quirkiness is like a lot of fun, and she's just like a really enjoyable character to me. She's like she is like a side character. She's a supporting character. She's not necessarily involved in the main plot so much, other than just being there as like some moral support for Jenna. She's not even as involved with it as Becky is, but I think just in terms of the character that coming on stage, that I enjoy almost every part with her. Dawn is like my number one character.
I think that Dawn plays a lot better for me than Becky does, to sort of like compare the two, because they, you know, are fulfilling like somewhat similar things, have, you know, similar-ish storylines. We're getting together, new-ish relationships. One is quirky. One is just everyone's cheating on each other, and I don't really like the guy that Becky is like with, so I don't know. But Dawn is funny. Boy, everything with Dawn and Ogie is incredible. Like every single piece of it, even like the little comedic lines of when they're all getting together and you know, the British are coming, as Ogie's like in full full gear, like every, you know, all these little facts about Ogie and all of his dressing up. I love Ogie and Dawn so much. Like, that to me is probably the funniest part of this musical. But Lindy, if you had to pick between Becky and Dawn, your thoughts, who do you like more?
I think Dawn, for the reasons you just said. And you know, now that I've had some time and listening to you two, Dawn came to my head, but I was like, is there someone I'm forgetting? But then I was running through all the people and I was like, I don't think so. So probably my favorite is Dawn, but I do like, what's his name? Ogie?
Yeah.
Ogie.
Ogie.
Ogie. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk through the tertiary guys. So like Ogie, Cal, I guess those are really the only tertiary guys, like Ogie and Cal. I mean, maybe you could put Dr. Pometer, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess Joe. You put Joe in there. Yeah. The tertiary guys. Joe does very little for me, but I don't hate him as much as I hate like this type of old man role in these Broadway musicals, right? Like, it's very much like a stereotype of like, this is the type of thing, but it's like, I don't know, he has some redeeming moments. I think he's like sometimes funny. The, you know, crotchetiness I think plays well, and he's like objectively not evil, which is good. Like, that's, you know, we love that for him. He immediately spots out everything from Jenna, like, I think you've got a bun in the oven. You're cooking more than just a pie. Tomato on the side, a separate plate. And I'll, you know, don't bring that with the. So there's like some moments from Joe. He's probably my favorite between like Joe and Cal, but I would put Ogie above both of those. And I don't know that it's particularly close.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really argue with any of that. Yeah. I think my favorite thing from Joe is like, how's your husband, and how's the lipstick smudger? Joe, the actor, of course, is known to Gilmore Girls fans as the headmaster of Rory's school. So I just have
Are
to
you
throw...
serious?
Yeah.
What's wow. his name?
His name is Dakin Matthews.
Lindy's a fake Gilmore Girls fan, I think, is what we're learning here.
I just didn't recognize. I know Headmaster Charleston. I know what he looks like, but my brain did not connect these two people.
Yeah, I mean, it was one that, as soon as he's top, because he's a character actor, and I've seen him in a lot of things over the years, and I had to look it up, like, where do I know him from? Because he's also like much older here than whenever he was on on Gilmore Girls and playing like a little bit more southern, you know, type character. Yeah, I think Joe is an interesting character. Reasons you said, yeah, Cal, just you can miss me with Cal for the most part. There's like the only thing I liked with Cal in the entire play, really, is that dumb scene where he has like the motorcycle helmet on. It's like dipping down two or three times to get it to go down. I don't know. That amused me because at first it's like, what the hell is he doing before it finally happens? And it's just like, I think emblematic of Cal trying to do something cool and just failing miserably until finally it happens. By the time it happens, it's not cool anymore because it took him like three tries to do it. Yeah, the whole Cal Bicky thing just doesn't really work for me all that well. I think I would like Becky a lot more as a character if she wasn't hooking up with Cal. I think, yeah, if she's hooking up with pretty much anyone else other than, if she's hooking up with Joe, I'd have more respect for Becky than her hooking up with Cal.
Whoa.
Wait, Becky, you think she should have hooked up with Joe?
Whoa.
I don't think she should have.
Todd wanted Becky to hook up with Joe. I heard it. That's what I heard, Lindy. That's
that's what he said.
The Jackie truther right there. Oh my god. I think the only like problem, and maybe the reason why some of what they did this, if Cal was not hooking up with Becky, then like Cal is just Joe, really. Like there's not, you know what I mean? Like they already sort of have like this archetype of character, and so we did get like some of the redemption of Cal at the end, where he's like, maybe I'm not that bad of a guy, and they're like, maybe you're not. Maybe like I guess like we sort of get a little bit there, but I don't know. Cal doesn't do much for me like at all.
You kind of hinted at this earlier, but like why were there like two affairs in the plot? I just was like,
there were a lot of affairs in this plot. Like
not that two affairs can't happen in real
it's
life.
Really like four.
There's four affairs.
Okay,
there's actually
like
so
four.
Many.
Yeah. More affairs.
Everyone's cheating on everyone with everyone. Like it's really there's a lot of like, yeah.
Why are two of the main characters doing this? Like it's I don't know. I didn't know what to make of that.
Well, so let's get to the other guys. Let's talk about the of FREs. Is there a word for the other affair? I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Dr. Pometer and of course Earl. So everyone's cheating on everyone. Earl is getting cheated on by Dr. Pometer, who is cheating on his wife because he's neurotic, I think was like really the only justification that was given. Or maybe he had a spark with Jenna.
That is my other question. I did not understand him as a character, like his motivations. I was really confused when they said he was married. I was like, okay, so like what's going on that he wants to cheat on his wife with Jenna? Like she's just this random person he just met. I mean, maybe it was the mermaid marshmallow pie.
Oh,
in which case,
I mean,
understandable.
Okay, so now we have to talk about this mermaid marshmallow pie. Lindy, in your mind, what is in this pie?
Well, it has pretty colors and it definitely has marshmallows.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe a little like cotton candy or something, sprinkles.
So this pie for you is marshmallows, cotton candy, and sprinkles,
among other things, sugar, what butter,
flour. Okay, that sounds like my nightmare pie. That sounds terrible. I don't like cotton candy. I hate marshmallows. Sprinkles are fake. I don't even know what sprinkles are.
Sugar.
Flour, butter.
It's true.
okay, so that's what's that's what's making Dr. Pomodoro like Jenna. So there's like, I don't think it's the pie, but they made a connection.
Right,
yeah,
but
there's like a connection. They like hit it off right at the bat, and like,
Yeah, I mean, it's basically lust at first sight. I guess or it should be love. I don't think. Yeah, it doesn't give a reason why he's like cheating on his wife other than he's really into her. Like he falls for her immediately, and that's all there is to it. I don't think there is any reason beyond that. I mean, yeah, the pie of it all, like the first sugar he's had forever, maybe he's like associating that burst of pleasure with her and everything. He talks about how she reminds him of something new before, only nicer. But overall, I think it's just like, yeah, he's a horn dog who's like, his wife is busy, getting her residency and she isn't around. And so he now has this new person that he's attracted to. I mean, let's say that Dr. Pomodoro is actually a bit of a, a scumbag.
Right. Because I mean, you can completely understand where Jenna is coming from. Obviously, like her husband sucks. So you can totally get that, why she's trying to escape from him. But on Dr. Pomodoro's side, like we don't see his wife for most of the musical, but then she shows up near the end and she seems like a nice, normal person from what we see of her. So you're like, oh, okay, so it's not it's not that she's a terrible person, so I guess this guy's a terrible person. But I think maybe this would have translated better, like in a movie, in the movie version. I haven't seen it, although I am kind of curious to see it.
Oh,
I might,
easy, Lindy.
I might watch a movie like voluntarily.
There. Oh my god!
Because
miss me with that. there's in the world.
I'm like, maybe they'd have like more time to kind of like marinate in the moment in a movie with like some more dialogue and stuff. I don't know. I was just like, what is he doing?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I liked him as an alternative to Earl, who I want to like get into here briefly. We don't need to spend a lot of time on Earl, to be honest with you. But like, so I like Dr. Pomander as an alternative to Earl, but I don't like Dr. Pomander. Like I just don't think that like him cheating on his wife was, there was just no context really. And like, she sort of asked, you know, are you happy? And then like, you know, don't answer that. And he's like, well, I'm just like kind of neurotic. Like, I don't know. Like a lot of the dialogue surrounding him was like, not, I don't think it was very well done. I don't think it was very well executed. I like his voice and I love like the quirky lankiness of the character. Like that's very fun. He also had great music. So I don't know. Like I can kind of forgive some of these other things for going along with that, but certainly as an alternative to Earl, who like was just purely a hated character. Like there was very little redeeming about Earl. And it's one of those things where there were a few things sort of hinted at of like, oh, it used to be different. Like you made me feel this way once. And they kind of talk about some stuff, but like there really was no attempt to make us like any version of Earl. And I was kind of okay with that. You know, I was kind of okay with like our ending of this being like, get the hell out of here. I'm done with you. And we move on. It's also always very funny to me. I say always, like I've only seen this twice, but like at the end when Joe Tippett comes out as like the, you know, to get an applause and everyone's like, oh yeah, good. Like, you know, everyone's so excited about everyone else. And then Earl comes out and he's like, fuck this guy. Like I absolutely hate him. That's always like very funny to me. Cause this is just like an objectively evil, hateable character that like, you have to squint so hard to find the little snippets of things that are like maybe not awful, but Todd, I can't squint that hard. I'll like bust an eyelid here or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like the only hint of anything is that, yeah, whenever they were younger and courting, he used to write love songs for her. Like that's like it. But beyond that, he is like completely self-involved and, you know, an ass to like his just to stupid levels to his boss at the point where he gets fired. And first of all, he's like telling her that she needs to quit her job basically. And then he gets fired. Like, well, I guess now you have to support both of us. And like snapping his fingers, wanting to know how much they made today. And the getting ready to beat the crap out of her until she tells him that she's pregnant. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to be dad, but you have to promise you can't love that baby more than you love me, you know, and just like so self-involved and narcissistic, but also, you know, abusive, you know, and that the fact that, you know, until the sun don't shine, you will be mine becomes more of a threat than, you know, a love song promise. It's just like, yeah, he is an objectively horrible person. I think he's a good character, like a really interesting character, and like a well played like love to hate type of character. But as a person, yeah, there is really nothing redeemable about Earl Hunterson.
Yeah. Which leaves us with just Jenna, our main character here, Sarah Bareilles herself in this production. I really like Jenna. I think that my number one like problem with Waitress the Musical is that I don't love Jenna, and I don't know how much of like a chasm there is there. I just, this is not a character that I'm able to fall in love with, and there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I think a lot of like the past trauma is portrayed brilliantly, especially the way they do some of the staging. We see like some flashbacks in the background of like her parents. The way some of that's done, all of the pie stuff is maybe like a little I don't even know what the right word is. Like, it's a little like almost too like philosophical for me of just like, or too conceptual, I guess, for me of like all the different pie stuff. Like, I don't know exactly how well that played for me. Like, we kept bringing random people out here to shove ingredients in a bowl. And it was like, you know, okay. Like some, I can see how that works for some people. I totally get that. It just, none of that stuff made me fall in love with this character, but I like her. Like, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. I like this character. Lindy, do you love Jenna?
I don't know if I love her, but I did like her. And I think it seems like Todd and I probably disagree with you about the pie part. At least I really liked all the pie making and all the random ingredients coming, you know, the coordination of them all handing it off and dumping
the coordination
it in a bowl
was very cool. Yeah. The way they did that was like certainly well executed from like a prop perspective for sure. Yeah, like, I mean, agree with you on that. Yeah,
the whole thing was well executed, of course. But I like the way that they kind of played around with things like that. And then that part where this is a little different, but just in terms of like how they kind of played around with the way things look, when she's about to give birth and there's those like people kind of in a circle around her and they all have like a circle of light over them. And it's, that was cool, I thought. But I liked all the baking and the pies, but you know, I just love sweet things. So maybe that was it.
You love a little sweet treat.
And I love conceptual things. So the conceptualness of it like worked really well for me. Again, that was like one of my favorite things about the original movie was like getting the peek inside Jenna's head as she like created these like really bizarre pies based on whatever was going through her head at the time. So I really, that was my big questions before I saw this was like, how are they going to do that on stage? And I thought they did it really well. I thought that the way that they brought that conceptual thing and showed her inner mind and her inner life in a way with these people like just swooping in and out. Yeah, the coordination, it is incredibly impressive. That's one of the things that anytime I watch a live production that has things like that, I'm just like always so impressed with the how well choreographed the sort of thing is. It has to be like so precise. They all have to like know what they're doing at the exact right moment. And I always am like really like taken in by shows that do things like that. So like that was like a big draw for me. As to the central question of whether I love Jenna or not. Yeah, I don't know that I love Jenna. I like her, like, you know, but I don't think I do love her. I think that there's, I don't know, there's just something there that just doesn't move me all the way to like full love of Jenna. But I like her. I'm rooting for her. I want good things to happen for her. But she's not going to go down the annals like one of my favorite protagonists of a show that I've ever seen.
Yeah, and I don't know that it's always necessary that I love a main character of a show, right? Like I can think of examples where that's not the case and I still like the show more than this. But admittedly, I think for a musical, especially one that is largely focused around a character and not sort of an ensemble. I mean, there is obviously an ensemble, but like this is really the Jenna, you know, Jenna is the waitress, right? Like that's the heart of the show. If you don't love that main character, I think it's tough to fully love the musical. But let's finish this off here. My final question, and I think I know Todd's answer to this, which is probably yes, which is my same answer to this question. Lindy, would you go see a live production of Waitress after having watched this movie? And I guess Todd, if your answer is no, then you know, let me know. But I think you and I would probably both go see it if we had the opportunity to. So I don't know. I don't know that I'm turning down a lot of opportunities to go see live shows, but
Todd, you can answer.
I mean, yeah, I would definitely go see a live version of it because the live performance is always like a different experience and usually like a better version, because I'd seen tape versions of Hamilton. I still went to see a live version. I'd seen tape versions of Come From Away, and I still went to see like a live version later. And yeah, I love being there in the live theater version. So yeah, if I had an opportunity to see this live, I definitely would try to go.
And I will answer and say absolutely yes, I would go to a live version of this. I mean, that'd be really fun. Like, let's go.
Okay, well, there we go. You've had it. There it is. That's Waitress. Go support live theater, live production of shows. We love to see it. That's going to do it for us here on Waitress, unless either of you have any other final little tidbits that you want to do. But I don't think so. You know, we've done this. If we did
you don't
this,
think
like,
so?
I don't think so. I think if we did this like three more times the full length, then we would get to one full length of Waitress. But I don't know. Do you have more? Do you want to be here for longer? Do you want to hang out for a little bit? Do you want to
I was hoping we could talk about like every single flavor of pie they mentioned. Yeah.
What was your outside of the mermaid? Was there like one favorite that you had in there?
No, it was just the mermaid.
It was just the mermaid.
Well, okay. There was like, they all, I mean, not all of them sounded good. There was a chocolatey one that sounded good.
Yeah. I like the blackberry one. I'm definitely like a fruit pie kind of guy. Like I don't need any, like the sugar is already there. Like I don't need sugar pie.
Although, I need sugar pie. Is there a sugar pie? I would eat that too.
Well, have you ever had like, yeah, sugar cream pie? That's like the official pie of Indiana. Like, have you ever had that?
Oh,
sugar
cream pie? No, I haven't. I want to though.
I don't know that I'd recommend it, but
I would like it.
You would actually, you would love it. Now that I don't really like it, but you actually would love it. Yeah. Todd, what was your favorite pie that was mentioned in the show? Do you have one?
I don't want Earl's baby pie, I think is probably.
Okay. To be fair, I also don't want Earl's baby. there you go. That's Waitress, the musical. What a fun time. Definitely go support live theater. Give this a watch if you haven't already. If any of our comments have inspired it, you know, if they haven't, then, well, I don't know. I mean, I would watch it. I like would recommend this. Like if you have the ability to watch it and you don't hate sitting down to watch long things, or don't have the ability to break it up, I guess I would watch this. Like this isn't, it wasn't bad. I definitely enjoyed it. I would recommend it. Unless you hate watching long things, but you know,
even if you do hate that, we still did it and we liked it.
Well, yeah. I mean, we still did. We like a little bit of an obligation, I guess, on our part. Like this would have been a pretty bad podcast had neither of us come on here and actually watched it. That would have been
the most qualified recommendation of all time.
Yeah.
Like, just say, yeah, I think you should watch it. Like, no, no.
Listen, I have to add some kind of qualification there. I would watch it. I recommend it. I think it was really good. And Sarah Bareilles is very, very, very talented, both from a writing and performing perspective. Glad that we got to experience that here even more. Okay. Let's get out of here. Next week we will be back to talk about Pushing Daisies season 1, episode 1. And, you know, if you've never seen Pushing Daisies, give it a shot, give it a go. Okay. It's not 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's just 40. I think the first episode is like 40 some. I think it's something like that. I don't even really know, but go watch season 1, episode 1 of Pushing Daisies. That's what we're going to be doing next week. In the meantime, Todd, what are you up to? Where can people find you at?
You can find me on most social media platforms as Librarian Todd, because Todd Librarian is too many characters. You can find me here on Whirlwind Podcast, talking about Shameless on Previously On with Adam and Sarah, over on Tuning In with Todd and Tommy, where we're talking through anything and everything animation.
Amazing. Lindy, outside of going to find a sugar cream pie, what are you up to?
Just everything here on One Indescribable Podcast. I am excited / nervous to get into Pushing Daisies. This is going to be the first show we're covering that I have not seen already. So I don't know how that's going to go, but sounds like there's pie. So
there is too bad. There is pie. There is a pie maker. We'll have some pie discussions for sure. Yeah. I'm Adam H. You can find me on Twitter, PandamanAdam1. We have so many other things going on here at Whirlwind Podcast. You can find us at Whirlwind Pods on Twitter and Instagram, whirlwindpodcast@gmail.com to send in all your feedback. And then whirlwindpodcast.com, all the things. You can find all of our links, social media, all kinds of stuff over there. We're doing, like Todd said, previously on Shameless. We are at the end of season 1. We have watched all of season 1. We're going to be giving those to you in 2 6-batch installments. And then on to season 2, we go for more Shameless. What a freaking wild show that is. Every Monday and Wednesday, we're dropping episodes of Previously On. We also have Whirlwind Investigations, where myself and Bliss Woodward are going through Veronica Mars. We've reached a very, very fun time and have a very special guest for this next upcoming episode. We just had Kevin on, and now we're going to have Sarah on. So that's going to be a fun time. We go through all of our rice purity score tests and all of the associated drama that happens there. And then finally, inside the TARDIS, we're doing Doctor Who. We are almost to the end of Series 6, and then we will have New Who coming out with a new Dr. Shooty. That's coming out very, very shortly. We're going to be covering it almost in real time, so go check that out over there inside the TARDIS. But of course, we will be back next week to talk through season 1, episode 1 of Pushing Daisies. And until then, bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.